Hello, this is Women of the Future, a series aimed at empowering women all across the globe to find something within themselves that brings them a sense of power and a sense of independence that they didn't usually have. My name is Magla Pillay and I'm in the studio with Sister Denise, and today we will be looking at the subject entitled Forgiveness, Bringing Resolution or Closure. Sister Denise, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell me, forgiveness and resolution and closure. One normally hears of just forgiveness, and the term that is normally expressed is it is important to forgive, otherwise one cannot move on. What does forgiveness have to do with resolving things and bringing closure?
You know, I don't really use the word forgiveness because of ways in which it's interpreted and because how it's defined. To forgive means that you wipe away the person's debt. And according to the philosophy of karma, you are not in a position to wipe away someone's debt. A debt becomes wiped away when the person settles the debt. So I rather use the word letting go. I think the operative words are really achieving closure and resolution. To resolve a conflict or a wrong which has not been resolved is a lot of work. To let go is another amount of work. To achieve closure is something that, you know, there's work involved individually with the other party and so on. So I really like to stay away from the idea of forgiveness, which is more unilateral and assumes that you can. When something is there as an unresolved debt between two parties, the sign of its existence is pain and suffering. And there may be suffering on the part of one of the parties, or both parties may suffer, both of them. And of course, in our culture, we keep talking about forgiveness. You know, you did this, 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 and this, and I forgive you.
Are you saying then, in the manner that that word is ordinarily defined, there is no such thing as forgiveness?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a big one. Because
I think this is why people have such a hard time with it.
Yeah, because the word forgiveness exists in practically every language on the planet.
Well, every language where in the culture the concept of forgiveness is part of the religion. You see, because if you take Christianity, which is where forgiveness comes a lot, and the word forgiveness comes, as far as I can tell, in Christian cultures. And this is because of the idea of Jesus Christ will forgive your sins. Or there are some cultures, like if you take Hindu culture, the idea of God rewarding and punishing is there. God will reward you for your good deeds and punish you for your bad deeds, which is also there in the Old Testament. Now, sometimes a person has done an action which is not just morally bad but illegal. They may have murdered somebody or something, and then they will confess that sin to the priest. And then the priest is held by his office not to tell that to the judiciary, you see. And then he's in a position, a difficult position. So then there are some countries where they say the priest has to say in such circumstances. And of course the priest will have to deal with his conscience. You know, maybe someone has done some really awful thing and there's a lot of people suffering and the priest is the only one who knows. Well, he's bound morally to act, and yet his office prevents him to. So it creates a lot of complications. I think pull the word out of the religious context, and it comes, okay, you owe me $1,000, I'm not going to force you to pay me like that. But you see, when it's a financial debt, even if you've forgiven the person's debt, they will feel honor-bound to repay it sooner or later. And you see, the laws of karma say that you cannot avoid repayment of a debt. It's impossible. So the laws of karma are totally at odds with the concept of forgiveness as described in Christianity. Which is why in Christianity they don't really like the idea of the laws of karma. And why in Hinduism don't really like the idea of forgiveness.
Let's look at the topic without the word forgiveness in it. Someone has harmed a woman listening to you today. And someone has harmed her either physically or verbally or in any other way. Now, she's sitting with this pain. What do you do with the pain?
Ah, that's a different thing, you see. Now, someone has harmed you, so they've gone into debt. They have to repay the debt. It's an incontrovertible law. Now, you have taken sorrow. You have taken pain. You have also done something wrong.
To yourself.
By taking the sorrow, by taking the suffering. These things get very, very complicated. Now, your question is, what do I do with the pain? On one level, I endure it. Because pain is something that is very strong at the time, and then it kind of, you know, falls away slowly, usually. Some people, why I like the word letting go, they won't let go. They sort of increase the pain. They go over and over it. They talk about it. They resent it. They build it up, you see. And there you're really doing another sin yourself. You see,
to yourself,
or you see, if you're creating a debt by being negative, okay, that person has to pay sooner or later, but you also have to pay, so it ends up double taxation, you can say. Okay, somebody did something bad to you. You can take it as, okay, I'm settling my debt to this person because I may have done something to get into debt with them, and they're giving me suffering, we're even. You could take it that way. And how you will take it depends on your intuition. If you have very fine intuition, you will sense which thing it is. Another way you could take it is, it's a test. It's a test of my capacity to endure, my capacity to let go, my capacity to accommodate. So if you feel this is what it is, then you could take it that way. Because if you don't endure, you will take it as a provocation to justify you having a negative feelings or behaviors or whatever towards them. So I think what we're trying to do in spirituality is to be able to manage the negative energy that comes. I always suggest to people, consider it to be a test, because if you consider it that way, then you use it to enable yourself to become more powerful in terms of your capacity to endure and all of this. It's going to teach you to be able to let go and move on. Always take it as something that's to your advantage, because whatever it happens to be, you'll always be ahead when you do it that way.
It takes an inordinate amount of power to pull what you just said off. When you're hurting, seriously hurting, you don't have pain, you are the pain. You breathe in pain, you breathe out pain. My question is, where do you get the power from to be what you just described? Many of us would like to be what you just described, but you can't. The pain that some souls carry is so traumatic that it emerges from the subconscious because it can't stay there. The subconscious cannot contain that level of agony. So where do you get the power from to do what you just said?
You get it from the source. And I think this also means you have to really think about what is God, what is that energy? How does that being operate and function and so on? And I think that the religions do touch upon it, but I don't feel that the world has got maybe a full picture. It is said only God can define himself. The amount of sorrow in the world, has it been increasing over time or decreasing?
Definitely increasing.
At least the population's been increasing, and man's inhumanity to man, to woman, to children seems to have been increasing. So that means, along with going into debt and settling debt, there's this overall increase. How far will that go? So there is a concept of the maximum. So when something goes to the maximum, as in any graph, J-curve graph, it goes to the maximum, and then the next thing after that is it immediately goes to zero. So what I'm talking about is that there are some, and perhaps there need to be more, who are capable of neutralizing pain.
What is that?
You know, in Christianity, there is this idea that, because people say, okay, why did Jesus Christ go on the cross? And then the answer is, well, he went on the cross because he died and he suffered in order that all of your sins will be forgiven. Now, according to the laws of karma, it's not possible. But it is nevertheless said. And to me, what that indicates is that there are some individuals who have a special capacity to manage pain, to manage atrocities or whatever, mentally, emotionally, that they have the ability to just merge it and neutralize it. And of course, that is not going to make an impact on other people's debts. But I think that a person who seeks to develop themselves spiritually has a possibility that they can, you know, achieve such a degree of spiritual power that they have this ability to just neutralize pain as and when it comes along. And that I don't know exactly how this works, but that on some level it can translate itself into a finishing off of the overall accumulation of pain in the world. And pain is in the mind, is it not?
I'll leave that question for you to answer. Yes.
Where do you experience pain? You will say, my hand hurts, until it's anesthetized. So there's some nerves which go along to your brain, which connects with your spirit, and you experience the pain. The soul experiences pain through the body. But where does the pain actually occur? In the mind. So depending on your relationship with pain, such as the intensity of the pain, and if you have great spiritual power, you can manage great pain and make it disappear. So this is an extraordinary phenomenon.
Yes, it is.
And there has to be some meaning in there that we can draw from so that we can see, okay, when everything reaches its absolute maximum, then it goes to zero, like no pain for anyone for a long, long period of time.
How does ego come into play here?
It is a very relevant question, because ego is a mask that you adopt to substitute for your real self, because your self has sort of lost its sense of self, lost its dignity, has been shattered. So you replace it with ego. And this happens when you cannot take pain, when you cannot take opposition. And in theater, they show the symbol of theater is a mask smiling and another mask, a sad mask. Mm. And our face is anyway a mask. And the face will show you're happy or you're miserable. The face doesn't lie. So the face is the indicator of the soul. Again, that takes us back to pain, suffering, etc. is experienced in the soul through the body. As the soul separates from the body, your relationship with pain changes. What happens when someone's killed? Maybe they're shot or they're knifed or whatever. Some system is there to kill a person that causes the soul to separate from the body, at which point the pain of the process of killing is finished. So the intention of the killer or maimer or whatever is to make a person feel pain. And people experience emotional pain, social pain, financial pain, every variety of pain, and the ability of the soul to manage pain is almost not at all there because the soul has become weak. Now, when the soul starts to take power from the Supreme Being, it changes your relationship with pain. Emotional pain, you would be able to handle it relatively quickly. Social pain, you don't bother about it. Physical pain is a serious test, you know. But you get to a point where even you can go beyond that. So what I'm talking about is possibilities where you have a few special individuals who demonstrate that it's possible. This is not necessarily possible for everyone, but even if it's possible for one person or 10 people, those people become some sort of catalyst or some sort of instrument which has an effect on the larger number of people who don't have that capacity. So what I feel is that, those who reach that level of spiritual competence, what they do for themselves also has an effect on other people. And that's a kind of service. And maybe it's some sort of an instrument to bring us from this constantly increasing global quantity of pain to a point where it's over, it's finished. I think women have actually greater capacity for pain than men in general.
To experience it or to neutralize it?
To manage it.
To manage it.
You know, sometimes I give a little joke that I say, if a man had to give birth, he'd only do it once.
Right.
Because it's very painful.
Yes.
Yes,
it is.
And a woman is usually expected to go through this several times. If you think about the Taj Mahal, famous, beautiful shrine to Mumtaz Mahal. Why did she die? She died in childbirth of her 13th child. Because giving birth is a huge deal. And you have to handle a great deal of pain.
Sister Denise, as far as resolution and closure is concerned, it's about yourself, isn't it? It's got nothing to do with the person who inflicted the pain upon you, either through something that they did or didn't do.
Maybe. I think, you know, nowadays what people are beginning to do is meet the person who did whatever it was and work it out with the person. And a lot of people are finding resolution and closure through that. Not necessarily a lot, but some. You know, you keep hearing of it more and more.
That works for some and not for others. Tell me, in terms of how you finish the account of pain inside of you, you make a decision and then you draw power from God. Why is it that some choose to hold on to pain even though they know they have a choice?
Many reasons, but I'm thinking of an example. It's like the options that we have. You may choose not to take a good option, what I call a good option. You may choose to just hold on and never let go. But I find that any time anyone has done something unforgivable to me, again, I stay away from the word forgiveness. And, you know, while you are feeling it, okay, you're feeling it, but then after a while, it's not an issue. And it is, I think, more honest that, okay, I'm over it. Now my relationship with that person becomes not maybe as it might have been, but at least cordial. You're not going to say, well, I'll never speak to you again. Or, you know, people hold on to that way past the proper time, you know, because of the resentment, because of the unwillingness to just let bygones be bygones, you know. It can even go through generations.
It has. Okay, so any last words for our female listeners on this subject?
I think the idea of all these situations that come along which are so unforgivable, they're still scenes in a movie. And separate yourself from the scene in the movie, separate yourself from the role, so that you can get on with your life. Otherwise, you're just trapped in the vengeance, the unwillingness to let go. Just listen to your spirit and be ready to let go when the right moment comes. It's healthy, much healthier.
Well, there you have it. Forgiveness. Is there such a thing as forgiveness? What was of particular interest to me in today's episode was the second part of the title, Resolution and Closure, and Sister Denise has shared some extremely practical and relevant methodologies, if you must, as to how one can close an account within your own heart and mind and to move on, which I think is a very powerful and spiritually necessary way of being or becoming. And the question that I would like to leave you with is, do you wish to move on? I think that's the first question one needs to ask. And I like the subject or the note in which Sister Denise ends today's talk. And she asked, are you willing to move on or do you wish to remain stuck? Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Sister Denise. And goodbye for now.